Water District Board of Directors to its order for its regular meeting on August 5th, 2020 at 9 a.m. Director Corona, would you lead us in the flag, please?
Sure. Can you all face the flag? Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Just so, because we are on a virtual meeting today, we just want to make sure that, do we have any guests that have phoned in today on the phone?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, could you identify yourself, please?
I am Lisa Herman, to speak on, I think it's item two. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me.
Welcome, Lisa. Who else, please?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Could you identify yourself, please? Okay. All right.
One more.
Director Sullivan, this is Stephen O'Neill on the line as well.
Stephen?
And Randy Record also.
Oh, yes. We'll do a roll call, please.
All right.
Thank you.
As an outsider, by the way, this is Bill Wilson, President of Rancho California Water District.
Terrific.
Speaking on, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. All right. Jayla?
Director Polly?
Present.
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slosson?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
And we have, and I'm sure council is here?
That's correct.
Okay. With that, let's go to agenda item one, which is public comments, and we'll reserve those, I think, for agenda item three. With that, we do have a public hearing this morning. This is a time and a place set for a duly authorized public hearing regarding the proposed establishment of Community Facilities District CFD number 2019-85, which is Winchester Meadows of Eastern Municipal Water District, the proposed rate and method of apportionment, and authorizing CFD to incur bonded indebtedness. I declare this public hearing open and would ask for a staff report on this proposed action. Thomas.
On June 17th, 2020, the board adopted resolution 2020-88, declaring its intention to establish Community Facilities District number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows, and resolution 2020-89, declaring its intention for the CFD to incur bonded indebtedness not to exceed $4.5 million. EMWD has received a signed petition by the landowner within the CFD, Winchester Meadows LLC, to form the CFD in order to finance applicable EMWD water and sewer facilities costs in lieu of fees. The project is planned for 228 lots and is located north of Domnigoni Parkway, west of Leon Road, south of Olive Avenue, in the Winchester area of unincorporated Riverside County. A developer has not yet acquired the property. CFD number 2019-85, as proposed, will be established in compliance with EMWD's comprehensive debt policy, meeting or exceeding all requirements. Annual special taxes within the CFD will have an average effective tax rate of 2% or less at the time of bond sale. Special taxes may be levied at their assigned rate as soon as a parcel is considered developed. The board has received and reviewed a Community Facilities District report for the CFD prepared by Webb Municipal Finance LLC, which is hereby entered into the record of this public hearing.
Okay, I would ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on July 28, 2020 in the Press Enterprise, a newspaper circulated within the CFD boundary in accordance with the Melo Ruse Community Facilities Act of 1982.
I would ask if the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal. I would ask her to provide copies thereof to the board.
No written protest to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. Since members of the public have been invited to participate in this hearing telephonically, I would ask that any members of the public who would like to communicate on this item, please do so now. Please note your name and for the record. And hearing none, at this time we are ready to adopt the following resolutions. Resolution establishing a CFD number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows, of Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of special taxes and calling an election therein. And resolution determining the necessity to incur bonded indebtedness within CFD number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows, and calling an election therein. I will accept a motion and a second to adopt these resolutions.
I'll move the item, Mr. President.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
The resolutions that we have just adopted form CFD number 2019-85, authorize the special tax and call for a bond election within CFD number 2019-85, which is to be held at this time by the Secretary.
All ballots have been cast in connection with the election for Community Facilities District number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows of Eastern Municipal Water District, and the election has now been closed. The results of said election, which includes the number of votes cast for and against Proposition A, B, and C, was unanimous in favor of all propositions.
Having heard the statement of the Secretary certifying the results of the voting on the propositions, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. The resolution certifying the results of the August 5th, 2020 special district and bond elections within CFD number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows, of Eastern Municipal Water District.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
The resolution has passed, and I now ask the district's legal counsel if there is a necessity for the Secretary to read the proposed ordinance to be voted upon in connection with these proceedings with respect to authorizing the levy of a special tax within CFD number 2019-85.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reading of proposed ordinance of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District, acting in its capacity as a legislative body of Community Facilities District number 2019-85, Winchester Meadows, of Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing levy of a special tax within the district, may be waived since everyone present has a copy of the proposed ordinance or may obtain a copy from the district's website.
I will accept the motion and a second to waive a reading of the proposed ordinance and to adopt the ordinance.
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And the ordinance has passed unanimously. At this point, we'll return to our regular agenda. We'll go to agenda item 3, which is recognitions. And we have a proclamation of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District in recognition of Lisa D. Herman for her exemplary service to the Rancho California Water District Board of Directors. Paul.
I want to get injured by this microphone here. There we go. Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board, good morning. It's my privilege to present a proclamation to the Board of Directors that recognizes Director Lisa Herman for her exemplary service to Rancho California Water District. So if I might, I'd go ahead and read the proclamation. Whereas Lisa D. Herman joined the Rancho California Water District Board of Directors in 1991, serving as Senior Vice President in 1995, 2001, 2009, and as President in 1996, 2002, and 2010. Whereas Ms. Herman also served as Rancho's Water Board Administration Committee, Engineering and Operations Committee, Finance and Audit Committee, Governmental Affairs Committee, and Planning and Administration Committee. Whereas Ms. Herman has contributed more than 29 years of service representing and serving the residents and businesses of Rancho California Water District service area to ensure they receive high quality water and services essential for sustaining the vibrant communities in that area. And whereas Ms. Herman's substantial involvement and support Rancho responded and met the water and wastewater needs of Southwest Riverside County and the cities of Temecula and Marietta by working cooperatively with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, Eastern Municipal Water District, Western Municipal Water District, and all other regional agencies to provide the highest level of service. And whereas during her time on the Rancho Water District Board, Ms. Herman oversaw the implementation of key water use efficiency initiatives, a budget-based rate structure, innovative customer-centric tools such as Rancho's Water's first website, My Water Tracker, and the My Water Tracker mobile application. And whereas Ms. Herman continued to preserve a stable rate structure, Rancho Water's assets grew from $290 to $923 million in 2020. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that Eastern Municipal Water District's its board of directors and executive management staff do hereby recognize Lisa Herman for her dedicated service to the customers of Rancho service area and for her excellent leadership within the water community. So we have, Ms. Herman, if you were here, we have a wonderful proclamation that we will make sure we get down to you. And on behalf of the board of directors and staff, want to thank you for your service. Any of the board members like to make any comments on this?
Sure, I'd like to make just a couple of comments. You know, I've been associated with the area down there since 1991 when I worked for Senator Marion Bergeson. And that was about the time that Lisa was appointed or elected to the board of directors down there. And ever since that time, she has been held as just a steady, fair, consistent member of the board down there to present. And so Eastern would just like to duly recognize your service down there and to be an equal partner with Eastern and some of the things that we try and do together.
Well, I spent 16 years with working with Lisa on the Rancho board, and like Ron said, she was always a steady board member. You could always count on her to give a fair and honest opinion. Opposing opinions from other board members never bothered her. Never got her dander up or anything. She was always calm, cool, and collected. When I first got on the board, there were several times when we were on opposing sides of votes and everything, and kind of a funny story. After one of these votes, I thought for sure I was going to win that vote, and I didn't. And I called her up and said, "Hey, what did I do wrong?" And she said, "Well, you have your opinion, I have mine, and that's the way it is." And we just kind of start into a discussion, and she started asking me about my background and where I'd come from and everything. And I told her, "Well, you know, I grew up in Cucamonga back when before it was Rancho Cucamonga. It was just Cucamonga." And she told me that her husband is from Cucamonga, and really, yeah. He must have gone to Alta Loma High School. And she goes, "Yeah, he went to Alta Loma High School." I said, "Well, what's your husband's name?" "Well, Rick Herman." And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know a Rick Herman, but I knew a Ricky Herman who had a locker right next to me in sixth grade." And she goes, "Well, that was probably him." And the next board meeting, I brought my high school yearbook. I says, "This is Ricky Herman." And she goes, "Yeah, that's him." And so it was kind of funny because, Rick and I played on the same sports teams, and he was a Little League All-Star and all this stuff. And it was like after that, it was like this door opened, and it was more, we're just regular people, and, you know, it was fabulous, you know. And over the years, we got to know each other better, and Lisa's just a phenomenal person. And she's been a phenomenal board member. And I just, she moved to Fallbrook, and you never know what might happen with Fallbrook and Rainbow. She's one of our constituents there, you know. But anyway, I just wish Lisa and Rick just the most fun in their new house, and congratulate her on a great career.
Terrific.
Yeah, director Eckert here. It's the same sentiments. It's been a pleasure to work with you, Lisa, over the years. Congratulations on a job well done, and enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Lisa, would you like to say anything? And would Director Wilson like to say anything?
Well,
yeah. Let me start before Lisa, if you mind.
Sure.
Lisa, Bill Wilson here again, your protege, and you've been my mentor through this crazy journey of being on a board of a water district. As you know, it's foreign to most, as it was to me. And you took me under your wing, and you just made it so easy and simple with all the acronyms and everything else. I kept on, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you didn't get annoyed with it. You know, for the most part, we were on the same mindset. And when we did disagree, you never held it against anybody. And you are absolutely a quintessential board member in that regard of not holding anything against anybody. It's just we agree to disagree and move forward. And, you know, you've been the calm through the storm through it all. And there will be a huge void in Rancho's board that I don't know whose shoes could possibly fill. What you have done for 29 years and seen the entire Temecula Valley grow to what it is today. And I thank you for that. It's allowed my family to come out here and open up a business and to live here. And without that forward thinking that you guys did back, you know, 29 years ago, we'd be in a world of hurt. So again, Lisa, you've been awesome, and we are going to dearly miss you on Rancho's board. But go apply for Fallbrook.
All right, my turn?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is Lisa Herman, and I certainly want to thank you for your proclamation and all of your very, very kind words. I'm kind of an old school person. I believe in community service and civic duty, and I kind of got into this and continued into it, more importantly, because I hoped I could give something, and I never really expected any recognition. In fact, I think I was rewarded with just a wonderful experience in the water industry. It was just fabulous to work with highly, highly intelligent professionals and progressive leading agencies like Eastern. And as Steve said, I'm in Rainbow service area now, and I would gladly praise Eastern whenever I have the opportunity. I'm going to have to start attending some of their meetings. But in the meantime, I thank you again for all of your very, very nice words and your proclamation. And I'm really going to miss my time with the water industry. But anyway, time is up. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And from the...
She took 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. From the Board of Directors of Eastern, we wish you and your family well in these coming years. And thank you for your service at Rancho and this region.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.
Do we need a motion?
No, we don't approve these formally.
Okay, with that, we'll go to agenda item 4, which is executive reports. Paul?
Thank you. President Sullivan, members of the board, my written report's included in your package. I have a few things I'd like to report today. First, on the Murrieta Division Focused Municipal Services Review, on July 31st, management and financial staff from each of the districts, Eastern, Western, and Rancho, as well as Riverside County, LAFCO, and LAFCO's outside consultant participated in a very good teleconference that really focused on the steps that are going to be needed to complete the Murrieta Division Focused Municipal Services Review Study. Also participating were staff from the City of Murrieta. So the focus of the meeting was really to do two things: discuss the comments that have been received on the draft study today, and also discuss the revised financial modeling. As I previously reported to the board, Rancho took a much closer look at the financial modeling that was included in the first draft of the report and wanted to revise that to reflect what they believe more accurately portrayed their operating costs. And what the consensus of the group was to ask each of the agencies, Eastern, Western, and Rancho, to go back and really review their financial modeling one more time. So we're going ahead and taking the opportunity to do that, and we'll be submitting our final financial modeling this week. Now, based on that, the consultant is going to take that information, what we've submitted, Rancho and Western, and do an independent review. So they'll be independently looking at that modeling. They'll be deciding what assumptions are put in, particularly assumptions to make sure that the modeling and the results of the study provide are sufficiently comparable. So, for example, you can't have one set of simplifying assumptions in one model and a different another model. They have to be comparable. And the consensus of the group, in our opinion, is that those modeling and the study needs to provide that level of comparability so the consultant can really make some findings as to what the best service model is. So based on that, we'll be submitting our final information this week. We're anticipating that the consultant will have a second draft of a report for release in late August. On past and ongoing activities, we are really in a flurry of activity right now to advance SB 414. This is the bill that we've co-authored with California Municipal Utilities Association regarding small system water authorities to be able to address failing water systems throughout the state. We have been doing a lot of outreach over the last month in particular and really working on the bill language. A vast majority of that time has been spent with the State Water Resources Control Board staff and legal counsel, and more recently with three of the leading environmental justice groups in the state on this issue. You know, I'm pleased to report that we've have very important consensus that's been reached on the language with those groups, including the state board and the environmental justice groups. We're still working with Cal LAFCO, who has now has some concerns about the bill because of the changes with respect to how these would be processed through LAFCO. We'll continue to work with LAFCO, but time is wrapping up. The committee consultants for the Appropriations Committee, as well as the leadership, they've indicated that we need to have our bill language to the committee consultant no later than August 10th. So we're planning on doing that right now. It's going back into the Legislative Council, and this is the consensus bill language. And following that, no further amendments will be taken for the bill. And then it would basically have to be out of the Appropriations Committee and signed for a floor hearing by August 21st, 2020. So we are in the final strokes. It's been quite a lot of activity. Danielle Coates and our lobbyists are just doing an excellent job right now keeping this moving. On the federal side, I'm very pleased to report that on July 29th, the House of Representatives passed WERDA 2020, their version of the WERDA bill. That bill included the very important Eastern Municipal Water District provision for the South Paris to increase our authorization from $25 to $50 million. This will obviously allow us to expand brine recovery and other portions of the desalter to provide additional potable water. The good news is the Senate's version of the WERDA S-3591, which was previously adopted in May of 2020, also has the reauthorization or the authorization modification language to move us from $25 to $50 million. And I think the best news is that with everything going on in Washington, D.C., the desire to move a WERDA bill seems to be very bipartisan right now, and both on the part of the Senate and the House to move WERDA bill forward. So we're very hoping that bodes well for us and that they will conference and finalize the bill prior for adjourning for the campaigns in early October. So we're very cautiously optimistic right now, but it's good we have them both in the House and Senate version of WERDA. Finally, I'd like to report an item that we mentioned last time at the board meeting, and that's the Case Road sewer siphon repair. As I mentioned previously, we were seeking a authorization from the city to be able to close Case Road. Because of the nature of that repair, we felt that was the safest way and most expeditious way to get the siphon repaired. As you recall, we had a siphon that was previously plugged last May. This was April. This was an important repair that we needed to get out of their way. We have two siphons that feed the Paris plant in that area, a 16-inch siphon and a 12-inch siphon, and they both go down Case Road, which is out here, and cross San Jacinto River before they come into the plant. The city held a special council meeting on July 14th. They had a couple of items. This was one item. It approved without any controversy, and so staff was queued, and the next morning literally had traffic control in place, mobilized, and began the excavation. When the excavation was completed, it revealed that the 12-inch siphon was completely corroded. The entire crown or top of the pipe was gone for over 20 feet, so it needed to be absolutely replaced. And why we had the excavation open, staff also elected to replace the 16-inch siphon. So we figured we're going to go in there, we'll have it open, and we did successfully replace both of the siphons in that length. And button up the project, had the street back open on by Saturday, July 25th, ahead of schedule. So it worked out very well. We will get a lot of service out of those two siphons in the future, won't have to worry about that. I want to commend Jeff and his staff for organizing this, also in coordinating with our engineering group and getting this done very effectively and ahead of schedule. And with that, that concludes my report for this morning. Thank you. Any questions?
I have none.
Okay. Good job on the siphon.
Yeah, I think everybody was pleased, especially the city of Paris, to get it reopened. So thank you very much. All right. With that, let's go to Laura.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Nick.
A couple of items, if I could. I'd just like to give you the first one, I'd give you a brief update on the Fallbrook Rainbow LAFCO reorg application process that's ongoing. As you're aware, they've submitted their applications to LAFCO. LAFCO Commission has elected to form an advisory committee, which we are a part of. It's actually a 10-member advisory committee that includes representation from Eastern, Fallbrook, Rainbow, County Water Authority, and then a number of other agencies within the San Diego region, Otay Water District, the Living Hind Municipal Water District, City of San Diego, Sandag, County of San Diego, and the City of Lemon Grove. And there's been two meetings thus far of the advisory committee. The second one occurred Monday of this week. And so far, the agenda for the advisory committee is really kind of just getting everybody orientated, understanding the LAFCO process, what the roles and responsibilities of the advisory committee. But we've got to the point where the executive officer of LAFCO is communicating to the advisory committee members of what some of the concerns and issues of the County Water Authority, San Diego County Water Authority, are with regards to Fallbrook and Rainbow's application. And they include the appropriate CEQA determination and process for their applications, concerns associated with increased reliance of supplies from the Bay Delta waters if Fallbrook and Rainbow annex into Eastern and detach from the County Water Authority, a reduced reliability, which we always understood would be a concern and a question, not only for Fallbrook, Rainbow, the County Water Authority, but also ourselves. And in fact, early on in the process, we did a very detailed analysis and prepared a technical memorandum looking at Eastern's ability and reliability of providing the supplies that Fallbrook and Rainbow are seeking. And you know, ultimately, we've concluded that we can 100% reliably serve Fallbrook and Rainbow, and that TM has been made available to LAFCO and the advisory committee. And then a couple of other concerns that have been raised with regards to the transfer of property tax revenue with the detachment annexation, and also a change in the voting entitlement of Eastern and the County Water Authority at the Metropolitan Board. And I just want to highlight that these issues and concerns have been communicated by the County Water Authority to LAFCO. There was a recent letter that, from our impression, implied that Eastern might have an ulterior motive in supporting Fallbrook and Rainbow, particularly as it relates to voting and entitlement. And we've taken the opportunity to reply, and I've reinforced that at the LAFCO Commission and the Advisory Committee that there is no ulterior motive on the part of Eastern here. We are supportive of Fallbrook and Rainbow's application, and this board has taken up an action and resolution of documenting that support because we see the merits in what they're trying to accomplish here. But we have no other ulterior motive, and we have no vested interest in any particular outcome. We're here to support the process, and at the end of the day, you know, whatever that determination is, it'll be fine with Eastern. So that's kind of where we're at this point in time. The advisory committee process will continue. I anticipate for quite some time as it works through some of these issues. There is a September 18th deadline set by LAFCO to receive input on these applications, but the process of reviewing that information and understanding it will continue. One of the next tasks of LAFCO is to actually select consultants that they feel will be necessary to help them understand the intricacies of this process, and they believe they need a consultant to look at this water reliability issue. They also need a consultant to look at the financial aspects and issues that have been raised, which includes rate impacts to the different agencies and their member agencies, as well as potentially what the financial reconciliation would be associated with Fallbrook and Rainbow's detachment from the County Water Authority. So that's where we are at this point in time. More to come. It's going to be a long process, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any at this point.
So, Nick, the concern by San Diego County Water Authority is that the other agencies in their group will have to make up the difference, I guess, for Fallbrook and Rainbow.
It's been suggested that with their detachment of the County Water Authority, that yes, other member agencies, the remaining 22 member agencies of the County Water Authority would have to pick up that financial difference. Now, Fallbrook and Rainbow position is that, well, that's why they're looking to, you know, detach and annex into Eastern. They feel that it had been subsidizing those agencies associated with, you know, projects and programs that they don't believe that they're receiving benefit from. So I think that's a key issue and a concern there.
Doesn't it stand that if Rainbow and Fallbrook drop out, that the Water Authority has the ability to get more Met water?
There's always that.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting process, and so see who they select to see what the financial impact is. Can't be very much, to be honest. So,
I did have one other item, and sure. Joe may want to weigh in on this. Last month, Laura actually provided a financial update to the board, which included an overview of where we were on our CIP program and the execution of that. Since then, we've completed a detailed reconciliation of the CIP expenditures for the year and its execution, and we ended the year with $102 million spent on our CIP program, $102 million of execution of our CIP projects compared to a $91 million budget. So there's a little bit of an overage there, but those overages are primarily due to the Paris 2 and Mountain Avenue West projects, which are heavily grant funded and associated with the acceleration of those two projects. So if you actually, you know, take out the $32 million of grant proceeds that we received and applied to our projects over the year, we had an out-of-pocket expenditure of $70.77 million compared to a forecasted budget of $70.8 million. So to Joe's credit and, you know, the team that, you know, plans and estimates and budgets these projects, and the team that, you know, designs and engineers and our team that constructs the project. I think it's just absolutely phenomenal. They missed the mark by $35,000 from their budget, which actually equates to 0.05%. So it's pretty phenomenal, and I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Can you explain that discrepancy and tell us how you plan to remediate that?
I'll let you know where that was.
Not bad forecasting.
I think it was Joe's bonus. Yeah.
You wish.
Thank you, Nick. And we'll have a detailed presentation on our capital improvement program next month as part of the overall financial summary for the fiscal year. So we'll go into more detail on our execution of the CIP as well as our upcoming projects planned for this year. Other than that, I don't have any other items. Thank you.
Good morning. Just real briefly. As you recall, Cos Goderio, our Director of Water Operations, retired a few months back, and we've completed an executive search to replace Cos. Obviously, that's a very key position for EMWD. I'm pleased to announce that starting Monday, David Garcia will be starting as our new Director of Water Operations. He comes to us from the city of Riverside and has well over 20 years of experience, very pertinent experience to what we do here, so we're very pleased to have him here, and I will look forward to introducing him to you at the next board meeting.
Sure. I think it was just at Ops and Engineering. Could you just give the rest of the board just a little bit of what we ran into on Case Road?
Yes. My intent, Director Sullivan, is to bring this item to the board at the next committee meeting
to give you a full report. Sure.
It's well within Paul's signature authority in terms of expenditures, but it was a high-profile project, so I intend to bring that to the board for a report next.
I wasn't so much worried about the expense, but the things that we ran into when you opened it up, we found more there than what we had really expected, and that to get it done that quickly was amazing.
And we can probably do that much better with some slides and PowerPoint to explain what we encountered.
Sounds fair. Thank you. All right. Have any other questions from staff? If not, let's go to agenda item 5, which is a consent calendar. I'll accept a motion and a second for approval of items 5A through 5F, unless anyone wants to pull anything.
Move consent calendar.
I'll second that.
It's a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion is approved unanimously. Let's go to agenda item 6, which is the action calendar. A is to approve and authorize award of contract with James W. Fowler Company for $3,386,000 under specification number 13755 for the Moreno Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facilities Tertiary Effluent Equalization Project, and the additional appropriation of $4,624,205. Eric.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning.
This is the Moreno Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility Tertiary Effluent Equalization Award of Construction Contract. The presentation this morning includes background of the project, summary of bids, services during construction, as well as a recommendation. The image on the screen identifies the location of the site at the Moreno Valley Water Reclamation Facility. The Moreno Valley Water Reclamation Facility currently treats about 14 MGD of water, million gallons a day of water, that's used by recycled water customers. This project will improve the service to recycled water customers by interconnecting the existing wet well to a pond on the site, increasing the total volume. As you can see on the image on the right, the tertiary effluent pump station, the TEPS, is called out. That TEPS is associated with a wet well with a volume of about 250,000 gallons. And you can imagine if you're treating 14 million gallons a day that the whole volume of that wet well is extremely short, forcing the facility to pump water and to either transport to another location or provide it to customers. By increasing the volume of the wet well and interconnection to this pond, doing so will increase the whole volume by over 9 million gallons, allowing the facility to improve reliability of service by responding to pressures in the recycled water system, as well as if the plant has maintenance activities or it goes off spec, to divert water away and to continue service to recycled water customers. These are benefits that were actually acknowledged by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation in a grant that they awarded this project, an amount about roughly $1 million. And you may recall the board approved a resolution back in March of 2019 in support of the grant application. So this project does represent benefits to the recycled water customers. This project was advertised in June. The district received a total of 8 bids. James W. Fowler was the lowest responsive bidder. 2 bidders were deemed non-responsive. It was primarily for administrative submittal requirements under the grant program. The good news is that the 2 bids that were non-responsive were not lower than the lowest responsive bid. The engineer's estimate was in the amount of roughly $3.9 million, and the lowest responsive bid was roughly 14% lower than the engineer's estimate. James W. Fowler has not worked for the district before. We did review their references. They gave us a total of 5 references for projects in a range of $5 to $12 million. One of those references was the city of Portland. I just want to point out that James W. Fowler is from Dallas, Oregon, and there was some confusion initially whether that was Dallas, Texas, or Dallas, Oregon. It actually is Dallas, Oregon. And we look forward to working with them. This will be the first time that we've worked with them. Crowell Engineers performed the design of the project. They were very efficient in its delivery. They also participated in a value engineering effort that was facilitated by DUDEC. That VE session resulted in a savings of roughly 15% on the construction costs of the project. We recommend Corolla for the engineering services during construction. They would be performing field support, submittal reviews, responses to RFIs, clarifications, system training, record drawing preparation, as well as O&M preparation services. Our schedule for this project, obviously the design is complete and we're before you today for consideration of the project. We would like to issue a notice of proceed this month, and we expect the project to be completed by November of next year, 2021. Our recommendation this morning is award of a contract for construction to James W. Fowler in the amount of $3,388,000. Award of engineering services contract to Corolla Engineers in the amount of $261,082, admin awards of contracts necessary to complete the construction of the project, and an appropriation in the amount of $4,624,205, bringing the total project cost to $5,165,196. With that, I'm available to respond to questions if there are any.
You have any questions of Eric? Okay, with that, we'll accept a motion in a second.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion is approved unanimously. Let's go to 6B, which is approve and authorize an award of contract with Lead Electric Incorporated for $670,988 under specification number 1367W. For the Grant Street electrical replacement and the additional appropriation of $981,500. Morning, Sean.
Good morning, members of the board. This is an oral-only report, so there'll be no presentation. This is for the Grant Street electrical system replacement project. The Grant Street booster was originally constructed in 1992 and is located in the city of Hemet near the corners of Grant and Palm Avenue. As the equipment is 25 years old, it is no longer supported by the manufacturer and parts are becoming difficult to find, making maintenance on the station extremely hard on our staff. The project itself, the replacement, will increase the safety, reduce maintenance requirements, and limit the potential for arc flash. In June of 2018, we began the design process with Michael Baker International providing those services. In July of 2020, the district solicited for bids. And we received 4. The lowest responsive bidder was Lead Electric with a bid of approximately $671,000. For continuity, staff negotiated with Michael Baker for services during construction in the amount of approximately $58,000. Our recommendation today is to execute contracts with Lead Electric and Michael Baker International in the amounts listed in the staff report. Approve administrative award and execution by the general manager, other necessary contracts to complete the project, and an additional appropriation of $981,500 to fund the project through construction. I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
Have any questions? If not, we'll accept the motion in a second.
I'll move the item, sir.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion is approved unanimously. Let's go to agenda item 6C, which is to approve and authorize agreements with CDM Smith for $1,797,437 and Woodward and Kern for $673,312 for the Paris North Basin Groundwater Contamination Prevention and Remediation Program with an additional appropriation of $3,160,000. John.
All right. Thank you very much. Greg's on vacation, so I'm pinch hitting for him today. So the agenda today is to briefly recap the Paris North program, discuss the final design, some additional required groundwater modeling that that's come to light, the overall schedule, and finally our recommendation. Moving on to slide 3, the Paris North program is located in the Paris North sub-basin, which covers the cities of Moreno Valley and the city of Paris. As you can see from the list there, there are three areas within the program that we're looking to construct wells with a total production anticipated at 6,750 acre feet per year. Looking at slide 4, the overall program goals and objectives and the benefits. This is truly a project to protect the underlying groundwater resources and prevent migration of non-point contamination to other areas that are non-contaminated within the basin, and also to provide long-term remediation for rising groundwater near the MARB. Our funding support, the district applied for a Prop 1 grant through the Regional Water Quality Control Board in February 2019 with an initial award of $36 million. Updated program costs and discussions with the board raised the total project cost to approximately $90 million with a commitment to fund 50% from the board. Our grant agreements were fully executed in June of this year, and construction completion under the requirement is March of 2023, and I'll discuss that a little bit more later. Moving on to slide 5, we divided the project into 3 design components. Project 1 and Project 2 were brought forward to the board last month, and we're here today to discuss Project number 3, the Cactus Corridor facilities. This is up to 6 wells and a centralized treatment facility co-located with some other district facilities. The overall project view is shown here in this slide, bounded by Cottonwood Avenue to the north, Iris Avenue to the south, Hecock to the east, and LaSalle Hecock to the west. You can see there's 4 wells located in the north. 2 of those will be located on the Cactus Corridor Treatment Facility, also co-located with our Cactus Turnout. The wells in the south, we have one located east well number 1, and we are currently negotiating with the city of Moreno Valley for the location of the second well in the south in one of the city parks. A quick overview of the Cactus Corridor Treatment Facility area on Paris Boulevard near Christopher Lane. You can see the components there, 2 wells, the blow-off facility, the Cactus 2 feeder, which is the co-location. Also additionally, there will be a finished water booster station and as well as a blending tank on the site. Moving on to slide 8. Our scope of work that we solicited for consulting engineering help included project management with QAQC, data gathering, site reconnaissance, various investigations, survey, geotechnical utilities, some water quality analysis in terms of selecting the best treatment media for the project, the preparation of the contract documents for the treatment facility and the well equipping, and then support through the procurement of the equipment, permitting, and bidding. Slide 9. We issued an RFP in June of 2020, received those proposals on July 8th. The selection team consisted of folks from operations, maintenance, as well as engineering, using the criteria listed below. Moving on to slide 10. We received 6 total proposals. All of them were good. The one outstanding one was CDM Smith. The selection team unanimously picked them as the highest rated. Staff entered in negotiations and was able to bring their fee down and in reason to comparable to the others for a best value overall. Slide 11, the additional groundwater modeling that I mentioned at the beginning. Through discussions with the stakeholder advisory group and the technical advisory committee, the state has been very engaged in reviewing our groundwater modeling effort and has asked for some additional things to be included and looked at, really focusing on making the project and the well field last a full 30 years, the term of their agreement. So one of the things that we're going to be looking at is actually a reduction in the wells, how the groundwater modeling is going to move. If we were able to reduce the two wells, it will actually reduce the project cost between $8 and $9 million. And then finally, there's an optional task there for solute transport modeling. This is really only if the stakeholder advisory group or the technical advisory committee asks for it. This takes a more robust dynamic look at the groundwater modeling versus the particle tracing that we've done, which is just really single point water movement. So the fee summary for the groundwater modeling with Woodward Curran is listed there. Task five is that optional and really will only be executed if the technical advisory committee or the stakeholder advisory group recommends it. So the schedule, and this is really where I wanted to key in on that March 2023 date. We've said before in various presentations that this is an extremely aggressive schedule to meet the funding requirements. I'm happy to report through working with our program manager and staff that as to date, we're actually 1 month ahead of schedule. These awards last month and this month are coming to you 1 month before, which to gain 4 weeks on an extremely aggressive schedule is a huge thing. So staff is very excited to bring this forward to you. So our recommendation today is an award in execution by the GM, a contract with CDM Smith in the amount of approximately $1.8 million, and an award by an execution by the GM, a contract with Woodward Curran in the amount of approximately $675,000, and an additional appropriation of $3.16 million, bringing the total program appropriation to date to $17,180,000. And that brings me to the end of the presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
You have any questions?
I had a question. If you can go back to slide 11.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so those lines, those blue lines, are showing the direction of flow where the water's going to be coming into the wells. And when all is said and done, we're going to be lowering the basin slightly.
Yes, sir.
And so how does that water flow coordinate with what's going on with the Mar Basin, the pollution there? Is there a chance that there can be some migration from Marb over to our wells over here, or will that be taken care of by the wells that are going at March?
The goal of this additional modeling is to verify that very question,
okay,
to make sure that we get everything placed in levels and volumes and production to mitigate any migration that might happen.
Thank you. Dr. Curran, maybe if I can add to that information. You are correct. What you're looking at there in the exhibit, first, the dark outlines are the areas of the commingled plumes, those bubbles, if you will. And what each of the well capture zone that's shown here is to demonstrate to the state that we are, in fact, capturing, treating, and remediating the contaminants within those commingled plumes. Specifically to your question relative to any potential impacts on the March Air Reserve Base on-site mitigation of VOC plumes. We have recently modeled our effects of not only the proposed wells, but of course from well 59 that's currently under construction with wellhead treatment for PFAS, as well as operation in the future of our existing well 56. So we've modeled those scenarios. Our preliminary indication is that we will not be impacting the on-site MARB VOC plumes. We are presenting those results to the state at the next technical advisory committee, as well as all the stakeholders, including the Air Force. So we feel confident that based on the separation we have between our proposed wells and the on-site plumes, that we will not be having any significant impact on those VOC plumes. So we'll have more data to share with the board as we advance the effort, but that's the preliminary information that we're seeing.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I have a couple comments. One, I'm assuming that we're going to have appropriate sound attenuation at the well sites that are adjacent to residential, So CDM Smith will take that into consideration. And then I suspect we would want to do some sort of outreach to the neighbors at some point and maybe just coordinate with the city, because there's going to be a lot of construction, a lot of traffic issues, obviously, during, you know, later after the design is done and we're in construction.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, Director Slauson. We will look at the temporary construction noise that may be generated from the wall drilling, as we have on every wall project. And where needed, we will erect sound attenuation barriers and walls. We are also working very closely with the City of Moreno Valley, not only relative to the proposed pipelines that will be in the public streets that will be constructed, but also on the opportunity to acquire two of the well sites within park areas. So the city has been receptive to our request, and we continue to advance that discussion with the City of Moreno Valley.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan.
Aye.
Director Pauly.
Aye.
Director Corona.
Aye.
Director Slauson.
Aye.
Director Record.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. On agenda item 7, we have no presentations today. Agenda item 8, which is a receive and file, so I'll accept a motion and a second for approval of items 8A through 8B.
I'll move item 8A and 8B.
Seconded.
Roll call, please.
Dr. Sullivan.
Aye.
Dr. Pauly.
Aye.
Dr. Record.
Aye.
Dr. Slauson.
Aye.
Dr. Corona.
Aye.
All right. Everybody's still awake. That's good.
Yeah. That's pretty tricky.
That's pretty tricky. All right. Motion passes unanimously. Let's go to agenda item 9, which is the calendar review. Nicole.
Good morning, President Sullivan. Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. Mm-hmm. I have some items for your consideration this morning. The first event is the Urban Water Institute webinar with Western Water Leaders, Pat Mulroy and Felicia Marcus. The district is sponsoring this event. It will be held on August 19th, which is a Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. It is at the same time as our board meeting. However, our sponsorship comes with complimentary registration for future webinars if anyone is interested in participating. On Friday, August 28th, the Riverside County Water Task Force virtual event has been scheduled for 7:30 a.m. The topic this time is preparing for a mega drought. The speakers have not yet been announced, but should be announced shortly. If anyone is, thank
sure.
you, Director Sullivan.
I'll be on.
I'll attend. Sorry.
Thanks, Director Pauly. Mm-hmm. And the annual Water Reuse Symposium will be a virtual event this year, held September 14th and 16th. That's a Monday through Wednesday. The district is a sponsor for this event. If anyone is interested in participating in any of the sessions during that time, we do have some complimentary registrations available.
Sure, I will.
Thank you, Director Sullivan.
Portions of Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, and I'll get you that detailed schedule. Moving to page 2, we've got the board's master calendar for the next 2 weeks. Beginning with this afternoon at 3 p.m., we have the water affordability discussion with Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia on Director Sullivan's calendar. On Thursday, August 6th at 11 a.m., Director Sullivan will participate in the NWRA Water Western Water Table Talk series. This is the first in the six-part series. That begins at 11 a.m. Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m., the Board Administrative Committee will meet, and that's for Director Pauly and Sullivan's calendars. On Wednesday, August 12th at 7:30 a.m., Director Corona has an update meeting with General Manager Paul Jones. And that's at 7:30 a.m. at the district, if you'd like.
either way.
Okay. We'll confirm that. On Wednesday, August 12th at 1:30 p.m., we have the Diamond Valley Memorandum of Intent Implement, I'm sorry, the Diamond Valley Lake Memorandum of Implementation Committee at 1:30 p.m. for Director Record's calendar. And at 3:30 p.m. on the 12th as well, we have the Board Planning Committee, and that's Director Corona and Records Calendars. Thursday, August 13th at 7:30 a.m., Director Slauson has an update meeting with the General Manager at EMWD. Thank you. And Thursday, August 13th, 8:30 a.m., the Rancho California Water District Board meeting is scheduled for Director Corona's calendar. For Director Sullivan's calendar, at 11 a.m., we have the NWRA Western Water Table Talk Series, number 2.
Right.
On the 13th as well, at 11:30 a.m., the Joint Inland and Orange County Caucuses will meet via conference call, and that's on Director Record's calendar. On August 13th at 2:30 p.m., we have Director Record's update meeting with the General Manager at 2:30 p.m., followed by, for Director Record's calendar as well, the Metropolitan Water District Finance and Insurance Committee agenda review meeting at 3:30 p.m. Friday, August 14th at 9 a.m., the Building Industry Association will hold their Southern California Water Conference virtually, and Directors Polly and Sullivan are scheduled to attend. The Metropolitan Water District Board and Committee meetings will occur on Monday, August 17th and Tuesday, August 18th, the Director Records calendar. And on Monday, August 17th, we have the CalDESAL Executive Committee teleconference at 11 a.m. for Director Polly. And lastly, we have the SAPA Commission meeting Tuesday, August 18th at 9:30 a.m. on Director Slauson's calendar. On pages 3 and 4, we have the upcoming board meetings, committee meetings as well. For the joint interagency meetings, just a note that the joint meeting with Elsinore Valley Water District was moved from August 11th to September 8th. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the calendar?
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Okay. With that, let's go to the director's reports. Director Corona.
Okay. Yesterday we had our Rancho California Water District joint meeting, and Paul and Nick gave reports, very informative. Kind of off the subject, I didn't attend this meeting, but Rancho flipped on the decision whether to go to election to replace Lisa, and decided to appoint to the position. So yesterday, I believe, was the last day that you could put your name in to be appointed. They have 11 people who have put their names in to be appointed to that position. Most of them, I don't know who they are, but Jack Hoagland is one that's put his name in. Joe Kubler has put his name in. Rich Williamson, former assistant general manager, he's put his name. I believe they're supposed to, in September, they're going to pick somebody or pick nobody. There are 6 people, so... You never know what might happen.
Amazing. All right. Okay, Director Record.
Delta Conveyance Finance Authority, we're meeting every other month. It's just kind of on hold to see if what the Newsom administration does about the project, and we'll see if we get the ball rolling. But really nothing to report there. The second item is actually the California Farm Water Coalition Finance Committee. And it was a small group of the Water Coalition Board just discussing finance and different options and opportunities. Challenging times for an agency that, or an organization that depends on funding from various agencies. Then standing committee meetings at Metropolitan. The direct reports are putting out their business plans, and we're gearing up to review our four direct reports. And that's about it on that. The Aqua virtual conference, obviously not close to the same what we're used to. Networking with people is greatly missed, but you take what you can get. So it was better than nothing, I'll put it that way, without trying to sound negative. And the EMWD and Rancho California interagency meeting yesterday, I did not call into that one. I missed that one.
Okay. Director Pauly.
Yes, I attended two BIA teleconferences with some really pretty well-known people in Sacramento, Rob Lapsley at the Chamber and Marty Wilson, and people have been around a long time, talking about both the current trends in California. And one of the interesting things I found is the trend of with the COVID and the doing more things electronically and telephonically, you're going to find people, in their opinion, migrating out to the Inland Empire from the larger cities, just cheaper cost of living. So I thought that was very interesting and probably bodes well for us. I attended the quarterly Deferred Compensation Administration meeting. We got a good report on all our funds and an interesting report on who at Eastern, under federal law, due to COVID again, you could borrow money from your retirement account and how that was going. I think the committee made a very good decision early on to limit the amount that folks might be able to borrow from, and I think we only had one person here at Eastern that hit the limit on that. So we have good financial stewardship, I think, that we teach throughout the organization. So that's, to me, important and heartwarming that we did not have a big exodus of people in their retirement money. Aqua Summer Virtual Conference, some interesting speakers. I will tell you, a personal opinion, I think there's nothing better than actually attending in person for some of these things. I'm not so sure how the virtual conferences are going to go in the future. CalDESAL Executive Committee, ironically enough, we are planning our virtual conference for next year with CalDESAL, but I still think there's a whole lot of benefit to seeing people in person, but so be it. And anyway, that and the CalDESAL Treasurer's Report, which was all good. And then finally had a very good bi-monthly meeting with Laura, who brought me up to speed on, especially with our project going on over in billing, our new billing system, and that is going well. So I always like to appreciate that update. And that's it, Mr. President.
Okay. Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the joint meeting with Western, discussed common interests. Attended the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority July 21st meeting, board meeting. We discussed or revised the salary schedules based on PERS recommendations and had an update on the Basin Monitoring Program Task Force. I attended sort of a ground opening or opening of our bottle fill station at Morrison Park along with the mayor, and was videoed for their Marina Valley Television with the mayor, and I think that's really well received in the community. The park doesn't have any water except for this, and it'll be cold water in the summer, so I think it'll be really appreciated and help encourage people to use refill bottles. attended the deferred comp meeting, and yes, report on the status of all the funding. Attended two of the Aqua days, both Aqua days. Listened in on the groundwater sustainability plans and PFAs and avoiding brain drain, and then listened to some of the keynote speakers. And also yesterday at the SAPA PA24 committee meeting, approved a number of projects. That's it.
Okay, I did attend the BIA of Southern California's webinar. I thought it was very informative, and I'll look forward to the next one. I did attend the EMWD and Western Joint Committee meeting, which is always a nice sharing of what's going on a couple of prime things that we do talk about. There's about four items, if I recall. The update with the general manager is always extremely informative, and always enjoy that. Later on that morning, I did attend the Menifee Mayor's Roundtable, which talked about the number of projects that they have in the city of Menifee, both residential, commercial, and industrial. It was a nice, nice meeting that morning. I did tune in for a couple of days for the Aqua Summer Virtual Conference. I agree with Director Record and Director Polly that, you know, it's a different way of, you have to listen, you can't talk to people, so I kind of miss that. But I thought that Commissioner Berman gave a very nice address that morning, and she actually handled a couple of difficult questions, I thought, very, very well. One was, you know, what are we going to do for water in Southern California, and what's going on with the Colorado River? The other, I did tune in on the one conference that they had on a little bit of financing and what's going on with COVID-19 with each one of the water districts, whether it was from the state or one of the primary districts that talked about their issues was East Bay Mud, which I thought was an interesting panel. The other one that I enjoyed was with Dave Reynolds and a number of people on what's going on at the federal level, with a little bit of, you know, also state, but it was primarily at the federal level, which I thought was very informative. I did not attend the Western Riverside Council of Governments. I had another personal issue to take care of that day. Okay, we have any director's comments for future agenda or future agenda items? Hearing none. Council, we have reason for closed session today.
We do, Mr. Chair, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss one item of potential litigation.
Okay, with that, let's take a 5-minute break while we clear the room and refresh our coffee or tea or water.
Yeah, and we have provided a separate number for Director Record and General Counsel to call back in.
Okay.
So we'll terminate the call now. And Director Record and Steve, if you could call back in on the separately provided number in a couple of minutes, we'll go ahead and clear the room and get started.
Thank you.